Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Hi.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And we are your hosts of the Sloppy Boys podcast, the podcast with timeless integrity.
Yes.
Timeless integrity. We're number one on a lot of people's lists.
Yes.
not on any publications.
Don't finish that thought, Tim. Don't finish that thought. Nobody needs to know.
Well, we were the third funniest podcast of 2022.
Right. But don't time. Yeah. But now we don't even have to timestamp that sort of thing.
Yeah. We're right, just number one on a lot of people's lists and we're timeless.
Yeah. And we don't talk the way that a lot of modern podcasters talk. We just do what we do, do our thing.
Every other podcast is like, oh my God, can you believe what Biden is doing? Oh my God.
I listen to a lot of those podcasts.
Yeah, Jesus.
I like them. And that's, if you ever hear me doing that cadence and kind of going on and on about Biden and all of his hijinks.
Yeah.
No, it's not just Biden, Tim. Oh my God. Can you believe Taylor Swift's new albums are out?
Yeah, that's all podcasts.
Oh God, yeah. Have you heard?
Have you heard about this?
Fire up a podcast, you won't hear anybody doing any other voice.
Anyone you hear, every voice you'll hear. Oh my God, I was at the mall the other day and I saw a Travis Kelsey jersey I almost bought at.
I almost bought it.
Either, you know, these people on these podcasts, buy it or don't buy it. We don't want to hear about it. We only want to hear it if you buy it, actually. Because we love to hear about people buying stuff. You know, I am interested lately in buying a PS5.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have a console. I haven't had a console in years. I don't know why I would get one. It would only waste my time. And I don't have any particular games I like except for Red Dead 2.
You gotta play the new Mario World game.
The new Mario World. Now, see, I don't think I can get that on...
That's not on PlayStation, Tim.
I don't think I can get that on PlayStation, but...
You can rip it. I'll rip it for you.
Yeah, oh. Grip it and rip it.
What a friend.
Maybe I will then.
You don't want to play Spider-Man 2?
I don't even know what I want to play. I just feel like if I had one, I'd have fun with it.
You would.
I don't know what I want to play. do you feel, Mike, in this moment, Jeff, you're a gamer, right?
I play a little Fortnite.
Don't tell me you were part of Gamergate.
No, Tim, come on.
Okay, good.
He was part of Watergate.
you're at least our resident gamer. I'm a non-gamer. Mike, you're now sounded like an aspiring gamer. Do you have this feeling, Mike, that I was kind of just saying this to someone the other day. I see video game, or I have historically seen video games as like a big time suck. And yeah. But then more recently, I was sort of like, you know, I guess I'm in my free time. I like to be productive in some fashion, and I see video games as fun, but there's nothing that comes from it. More recently, I was like, well, who gives a flying
Tim,
fuck?
Tim, what about the hand eye?
Well, the hand eye. For sure. Do you find yourself applying that to other things, Jeff?
Oh yeah, you haven't seen me at the grocery store.
Yeah,
bananas, grapes.
Well, you're playing Fruit Ninja over there.
Have you seen me at the grocery store? I'm over there going, I'll have one grape. I'll have one banana. Now, if you play Fruit Ninja on your phone, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
No, but I was sort of just thinking recently, now that I'm old enough to know that life is kind of just a sort of bunch of random bullshit all the time, it's mm-hmm. sort of like, yeah, just if you, let's say you sit down and you play a video game for 6 hours. Those were six fun hours. Sounds like a pretty good life. You had 6 good hours of your life. Now, what am I doing over here that's so much better, you know?
Yeah, it's a thrill.
You ain't doing jack shit.
And it's not like I'm doing the stuff from the games. It's not like I'm, instead of playing Mario, I'm not out there, you know, bouncing under coin boxes and eating mushrooms and getting big and, you know.
Right. Because that's what they always say is, why don't you do this in real life?
Yeah, do the stuff. Do the real stuff.
It's funny with Mario. He mushrooms make him grow, but he also, some mushrooms he stomps on. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And some of them give him extra life.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And we're supposed to go along thinking this is normal. This is what normal people do. Mm-hmm. Well, shit. I'm going to say that.
And when I dress as a frog, it's weird.
On, you know, a few weeks ago, you would have been fine, Jeff. Yeah, Halloween. Mm-hmm. Halloween.
How is it these Nintendo characters are so timeless? Because to me, these things are not in my life, but when I'm on a podcast with you geeks, there's a lot of talk about how Toad is 32 or references mm-hmm. to Bowser and stuff like that. And
wait,
to me,
did you say geeks?
Hold on.
Hold on a second.
Let's go back to geeks.
No, let him finish.
I don't even have a console.
When you guys say that stuff,
yeah,
I'm thinking, hey, we're making kitschy references to our youth. But here we are in a year where there was a hit Mario movie and a hit Mario video game. It's current top of the charts shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How do they do that?
They're good.
What is it about that family of characters? Hey, I love them. I loved them when I was kids. I like the specificity. I like it. I would have never thought of an Italian plumber. That's so cool.
It's nostalgia.
No, but what I'm saying is I don't know that it is, because the current, like my friends, Sean and Jill, their kids, they got 3 kids watching the new Mario movie, loving it, laughing at Jack Black singing about Peach. Mm-hmm. They don't know it's a reference to anything. They're just taking it as new content.
See, Tim, what you're looking for is that it has that timeless integrity.
Yeah, I guess that was it.
That all good content has.
Here's what I'll say. There's something going on in the world these days that we've never seen before, where the remakes, the redos, Ninja Turtles.
I've not thought about this, Mike. This is the first time this has been pointed out to me.
This is good
we're
stuff.
We're doing it again.
Let them cook.
And guess what? So that they want us, the kids, to see it. Who's taking the kids? The adults. Who was playing with Ninja Turtles when they were a kid? The adults.
Sure.
Kids and adults now have the same interests.
Yeah, but why make new shit?
So you're saying that my friends Sean and Jill are responsible for their kids liking the movie.
Tim, Sean and Jill are complicit.
Yeah? Well, what about Maggie, Charlie, and Liam?
Are those the kids themselves?
I point the finger at them.
And I always will.
I'm calling you out, Maggie, Charlie, and Liam.
I don't know. Something's going on with the Mario franchise that we just don't get.
No, because it's expensive to educate the populace about a new thing. Why create the Floofies if you already have Mario and Toad and Peach?
Is Floofies a thing?
No, I just made it up.
Okay. All right.
That's my fucking point, Mike.
I knew I was walking into something there.
Would it kill kids to play Tapper once in a while? Make a Tapper movie?
I know. Thank you.
Get Tapper out there. Tapper can't be in 360 3D technology like all the other games? Come
on. He'd look great.
Of course he could.
He's so round.
He's so round. Hey, he's so successful.
Successful.
Well, he's as successful as you want him to be. Go ahead.
A movie mashup, guys. Tapper versus Taffer. So Taffer from Bar Rescue comes into the Tapper Tavern and gives him notes. Oh, people don't drink just pints of Budweiser anymore. You have to have a Cosmopolitan, man.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
I don't hate that.
You have four bars all in straight rows. That's weird. That's,
yeah. And one bartender working four bars.
you let punkers into some of them?
You're smashing mugs all over the place every day.
You live in a box. This is weird.
This is weird. You're controlled electronically. Here's why, what got me thinking about it. Because a lot of times I'll plop down on the couch and like, you know what I'm watching consistently now? The Office. Which I've seen, I'm having a great time watching. Hmm. But I'm in like season six, and I'm just like, I know where this goes. It goes to Michael leaves, and then who knows what's going on.
Sure.
So I need to fill that time. Relax time. It's called relax time.
I heard that Office mania is finally cooling down. That like the Office's streaming numbers, because right now I think it's on what, like Peacock? Or where were you watching it?
Yeah, Peacock.
That maybe the constant rejuvenating success of that show over and over again might be finally dying down. People still watch it, but it's not like wherever it goes is a monster hit.
I was thinking about that with Seinfeld recently. Is that's people are still watching that like crazy, huh?
It's holding strong.
I think it's big on Netflix. Yeah.
Holding
yeah.
true. Holding timeless true. Integrity.
Timeless. This should be called, this podcast should be called Timeless Integrity. And we don't have to drink all the time. I hate drinking. Oh, Tim, why don't you have some chartreuse? I don't like drink.
I don't fucking want it. I don't want more star anise flavor.
This is my job. You want me to do this at a bar?
My thing is rising and grinding and hustle culture and all that.
Yeah.
Here's one last thing about video games. Mm. Whenever video I get games. Down about feeling like this is stupid, I shouldn't do this at all anymore. I read an article. I read one about Kumail. You know,
my former neighbor,
Tim's former neighbor, mm-hmm.
until very recently.
I was looking up all your former neighbors, and I found this one interesting article on Kumail, and it said, you know, he likes to play video games, and here he was gearing up for a Marvel movie and stuff, and I was like, well, see, you can be productive and play video games. It can be done. You can be a functioning adult in the modern day and play video games.
Mm. That's how he bulked up, was just mashing his fingers on the controller and he got all ripped.
His thumbs got big and then his wrists got big and then his arms.
It trickles up his arms and down his torso. But, you know, it doesn't work that way for the common man, I think, to equate video games with I can still have a fruitful career. Tracks like, got to be laid already.
Yeah. So like Mike Mitchell does this, Eva Anderson, both people we've had on or talked about on the show, do this thing where they play video games, they watch every movie, they see every TV show, they read all the articles. They just like have such a capacity for
like a sponge
stuff coming in. I hang out with them like, why, who's this? What's that? They know everything.
Yeah. I mean, like Neil catches up on a lot of stuff, but video games aren't one of his things. He'll do like plays and books. And
he plays video games.
He plays video games. Yes, he does everything.
This flies in the face of everything I know about Neil.
Well, it's infuriating to me that like I don't follow sports. I don't play video games. And then you're talking to a guy like Neil and he also knows more about like comedy than me. And I'm like, what the fuck? I can't have one thing. Fine, I bet I eat more ribeyes than you, dude.
Well, you know, and you know he's listening to this too. So, Neil, how do you do it? We would love to hear. We would love an audio recording from Neil Campbell, contest winner Neil Campbell.
Yeah.
About how he does it. How does he fit it all in?
How What's do you his cram day like? All that
how
content?
Do you? We want a Marky Mark Wahlberg breakdown of your day, Neil.
Can I share something, or am I just not even ever allowed to talk on it?
You're allowed.
If you want timeless integrity, I think all three of us should get to talk. Here's what I wanted to say. I thought of this because I made a joke about ribeyes and it reminded me. Jeff and I were at a house party recently. Jeff, did you see me getting my astrology chart read? There was a lady there that took out like the astrology app. And
no, people Tim, that's devil stuff. I'm not into that.
I agree. Because of this experience, kind of people were gathered around hearing me get my charts read, and this lady goes, okay, so you're like, you're a Taurus and you're this and you're that. So it means like you like things the way, you know, and I've heard this about Taurus.
This seems pretty basic.
But listen to this. This is a stranger. Don't know me. Doesn't know me from Adam Carolla. Doesn't know me from Adam Conover. She goes, so you're a Taurus. You're kind of stubborn. You like things the way you like them. You know you like your ribeye medium rare.
Get the fuck out of here.
She said that to me. Wow. And like it's just an example of like, you know what you like and you like what you know. You like your medium. And I was like,
was that just random and lucky or? Well, Tim, you're a public figure though. Remember? Well,
I know, but I freaked out and I was like, did you know that? And she's like, what? I was like, did you know ribeye is my favorite food? And she's like, she got all excited. And then I was like, wow. Did you? And I order at medium rare. And then she was like, see, this stuff's like real. And everybody's like, wow, this stuff's like real. But
see,
I'm sure like if you're talking to like a big fat jackass like me, it's probably like steak is a safe thing to reference. But from now on, I'm an astrology guy. Look to the stars for me.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute.
I'm a rock.
Is that how it works?
I'm a rocket man.
To the stars.
I'm taking off.
I'll be up there, folks.
Don't hurt your necks. I'll be up there in the stars.
I heard they got medium rare ribeyes up there. I'm going.
Can we get to the fucking booze news, please?
Yeah.
For once, yeah. Bip, 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 bip. Booze news, hit it.
2021, what you think about me? I could wait a year, but I couldn't wait 3.
Boy.
I don't want to be.
Boy.
2021, what you think about us? Copper goes green, steel beams go rust.
Boy.
It's a matter of.
Boy.
It's booze news, you elder respecting fucks.
Boozer of the News was sent to us by David Conway. And if you have a booze news theme, email it to the sloppyboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Nice.
That was a mashup of I had told a story on our Patreon show. Folks, you got to subscribe. And I think that was on the reenactor episode. I told a scary story about my neighbor calling me over saying, bye, old creepy lady. And then that was a mashup with the Vampire Weekend song 2021, which had Jenny Lewis saying, boy, or was it Daniel?
Oh, that was Jenny Lewis?
It was either Daniel Heim or Jenny Lewis.
Oh, by the way, that's Cameron, by the way. We couldn't figure out who sang. Oh, boy.
Cameron.
Damn.
Nice. That was a good one. I like Vampire Weekend. I like that boy story. I also like the... Tim, you mentioned the Patreon.
You like that?
I like that. Now
you like that?
You like the Patreon?
Those of you who are not on Patreon, on the Sloppy Boys Patreon right now, get over there because today we talked about Taylor Swift's Eras Tour movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's maybe one that would send him running for the hills, but
you want to, hey, look,
that'll get some.
No, but it'll bring in some people who like to talk about current event stuff.
Yeah. Our preferred listeners.
Well, that's what's been happening all year. We've been getting inundated with new subscribers that are Swifties all everywhere.
Swifty, Swifty, cha, cha, cha.
And then we do have some listeners who say, enough of this teeny bopper shit.
We want to talk about Rush.
Talk about Yes.
We just had a whole fucking month of old movies. So the grandpas are happy. Trust me.
The grandpas are satiated.
Yeah.
But even so, listen to the podcast because it's us, your three boys. I'm pretty much your boy at this point. You love me. You love my two co-hosts. It's us talking about it. So we've got some angles you're going to want to hear. Plus, lots of times we don't even get to the fucking thing. I'm telling a story about my neighbor calling me boy.
Bye.
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 Bye. You want to hear the booze news?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really like this. This is the type. This is why I became editor-in-chief is for a story like this. This is the type of stuff that I think is right up our alley. Right. A recent LA Times article, which I found myself. No slopheads even thought to send this to me.
LA Times, that's one of the big boys.
Yeah. The Gray Lady of the West. Listen to this headline. The hot Gen Z bar in LA is Barney's Beanery. Wait, what?
Oh. Wait, what?
Exactly, Mike.
That's so funny. Is that true?
To anyone who doesn't live in LA, Barney's Beanery is this 100-year-old bar in West Hollywood that has sort of a dive bar pinball machine, potato skins, roadhouse vibe.
Beanery vibe, yeah.
Beanery. and it's not what, like, you know, it's got storied, like, old LA history and then some, like, Sunset Strip rocker dude type history. But this is a whole article about, like, the TikTok gang and young, like, 21-year-old models, like, girls in LA that currently, if you go to, I haven't been there in years, I don't know about you guys, but if you go there on a Saturday night at 10 o'clock, there is a long line of, like, 21-year-old model girls.
Model citizens?
Model citizens. Okay. Because this is, like, the hot spot, the place. And then this article has a bunch of theories as to why, but...
Won't you share
do
some?
You guys, did you, Jeff, when was the last time you were there?
I think not since we saw the Soup Nazi all those years ago.
Was that the same night we saw Rab himself there?
We saw a few CKY guys, Rab himself and somebody else, some kind of below the line talent.
Dave England.
This article is sort of talking about how it stands apart from, like, if you're cool and young in LA, a lot of the clubby chic clubs are the main vibe, so that you might be really charmed by this dive bar vibe just because it's maybe even your only experience with a dive bar. But they were also pointing out there's an interesting thing. They were talking about the ironic retro bar, like Good Times at Davy Wayne's or whatever.
Right.
That is a throwback bar. And now here you have with Barney's Beanery, a bar that really just is old.
Yeah. No need to throw back.
Mm.
And you can go in and out of style by just doing your own thing. And I was thinking about, like, how we went to Bernie's in Brooklyn and we were like, oh, it's kind of throwbacky and this is fun. I guess, like, Barney's, if you just wait it out, like, you don't have to be doing ironically. You just are the thing, you know?
Wait, Bernie's in Brooklyn? What was that again?
That's the place that's kind of got a TGI Elevated Fridays vibe.
Like Applebee's.
Oh, yes, style. Yes. I was not there when you guys went.
It's great.
Now that's interesting, T. When you were saying, like, the hot Gen Z spot, my mind doesn't even go to West Hollywood. You know what I'm saying?
WeHo.
Where do you think? East Side?
East, baby.
Yeah, you might be thinking cooler, Jeff, because I think Highland Park is for people who are smart.
Wait a minute. East Side, isn't that where you live, Jeff?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything hip and cool going around where you are.
But I had friends visit LA and they were like, hey, let's check out this restaurant that's like over here in West Hollywood or whatever. And I said, guys, let's be clear. You are going on an East Hollywood vacation. we'll drive to, like, the beach, but there's nothing we're going to get at a restaurant in West Hollywood that we can't, like, have a better time just hanging on the East Side in Los Feliz, Silver Lake, Echo Park, Highland Park, Glendale. That's where it's at, baby.
You got me. I agree, but I think that...
Did the artists hang out in West Hollywood? No, it's like managers and shit.
But I think that... I think that...
Hollywood, right?
The artists, like you're saying, if you're like an alt comedian or a musician or something, or like an indie musician or something cool, you find your way to the cool stuff on the East Side. This is models, you know, like TikTok influencers and Instagram influencers and models. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they, and it's also they're young, so they're new to LA. So I don't know that they,
I mean, you know, like, rite of passage. We did it too. When we were like 22 years old, we took the trip to Barney's Beanery for no goddamn good reason. We passed 100 bars on the way to Barney's.
I think for us, I was talking to Neil about this actually, that I think that, you know, your first year in LA, a lot of times you are looking for bars that remind you of home. And I think for us, we did gravitate to, like, dive bars where it's sort of like, yeah, this feels kind of like the East Coast. I normally drink a Yingling.
Yeah.
So I understand being new in a city and then wanting a bar with a divey back home feel. But this article was kind of making the case for, like, like kids having not really encountered this type of bar before and then being like, cool, there's food and there's video games. That, like, clubs don't have that. Yeah. Like, they're almost like finding a novel.
And it's big and it's open air, right?
They got a, like, little,
it's kind of, yeah, it's very porchy.
It gets pretty shoulder to shoulder, though. You bump into someone, their potato skin falls right on your crotch.
Ooh, oh, that's hot. Ah,
I guess I kind of loop it. I've seen another, I don't always report on it because we've covered it, but I saw another article talking about Olive Garden has been doing really well recently and the kind of return to the suburbs post-COVID nostalgia for...
People are going there for their bar?
For dinner, for everything. It's like...
Oh, okay.
Breadsticks.
Like family dining. I think that family dining is not far off from the dive bar here where there's a certain comfort that people are looking for.
Mm-hmm. I saw a TikTok where a young gentleman with floppy hair and loose jeans was drawing a diagram about like what bars are like on the way in and on the way out and which ones are like right on the bubble and where they are and stuff. And one of the featured ones was 4100, which we also had this sort of, we all had this conversation about the perplexing resurgence of 4100. It's not nearly as old as Barney's Beanery, but I remember when that was like a stuffy, whatever, musty bar. And now it's like, also divey, also East Coasty, lots of AstroTurf for people to hang out.
And watching it go up and down, because like when we got to LA, 4100 was, I felt like a Silver Lake, like an indie bar, like, oh, they have Arcade Fire on the jukebox and I feel like an indie kid hanging out here. And it was cool and we went there a lot. And then it had a decade of being uncool. And then during COVID, they opened up, turned their parking lot into... like a beer garden, but they didn't even do a good job. Yeah, it's like grimy AstroTurf.
Bad job for it. Even it's better than ever, and it's still not great.
but it's crazy that it just the pandemic ended and this place stayed packed, and it is like kind of a meat market vibe of like a hookup-y sort of intense vibe in what was like precious indie Silver Lake is now like feels to me like almost like a college bar or something.
Yeah. Crazy.
We got to open a bar.
And we're here experiencing it all.
Wow. One last note I wanted to make about this article was they mentioned, guess who used to tend bar at Barney's Beanery?
Rab himself?
Taffer.
Taffer?
Jake Taffer?
Yes, from Bar Rescue. Wow. He was a bartender there.
You just mentioned Taffer. I'm surprised you weren't like, Taffer. Who was at Barney's Beanery?
I sat on it because I knew this story was coming.
Yeah.
Did you guys see a vein bulging out of my forehead? I was biting my tongue.
So this man is not doing so well, Jeffy.
Is that it for Booze News?
Wrap it up.
Wah!
See? Nintendo shit.
Yep.
Nintendo stuff, man.
Nintendo stuff, man.
Nintendo stuff.
Nintendo stuff.
If this show was called Nintendo Stuff, we would do so much better.
Let's just change it.
Now?
Nintendo Stuff, where we take a deep dive into the drinks you love. So
a hard turn at episode 361 or 161?
No, we would still do what we do, but we just call it Nintendo Stuff.
Oh, okay.
And people would say, oh,
Toads 32.
Yeah, we've talked about Nintendo enough to be called Nintendo Stuff.
Can I get to the fucking drink of the day, please?
That would sound good to me.
It's a good one.
Good.
The French martini. You've heard?
No.
So you certainly haven't had.
I've not heard this name for it, but when I looked at the ingredients, I was like, oh yeah, this makes me think of something I've seen.
Allow me to set the scene with a little French music. Ooh.
Ooh, Daft Punk. Kidding. That's the only French musician I know.
What about Phoenix?
Aha.
Ooh.
A band I've seen live before.
Can I do my fucking story?
Nobody's talking.
October 2022. The Balthazar Restaurant in New York City.
Oh, boy.
A Parisian brasserie. The night is going swimmingly.
Meat market.
Until a misprepared dish hits the wrong table. The man at the table starts cursing out the staff, according to accounts.
I can't believe this. Oh, you arse.
Very good, Timmy. You can't do your job. Maybe I should go into the kitchen and cook the omelet myself.
Illegal.
Quote. That's the quote.
That's it? He said that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The staff? Profusely apologetic. The angry man? Esteemed late night host James Corden.
Former late night host.
Band leader thief.
Thank you. Band leader poacher James Corden. And this wasn't the first such event from this guest. In the past, Corden claimed to have found a hair in his dish, demanding another round of drinks, hinting he'd write a bad review online.
Ooh.
That Monday, British-born restaurateur Keith McNally takes to Instagram and bans Corden from his restaurant, saying, "Today I 86'd Corden, the most abusive customer to my Baltazar server since the restaurant opened 25 years ago."
Ooh, to the left, to the left, Corden. See you later.
To the left. Corden calls him, apologizes profusely, issues this apology on his show.
"I'm rather sorry.
The restaurant manager and the server, they were lovely. They were lovely. They brought out four glasses of champagne as an apology. But we were like, that's not necessary. We don't need it. We'd had a great time. Even for me, it was too early to start drinking. So, but here's the truth of it, right? Because I didn't shout or scream, like I didn't get up out of my seat, I didn't call anyone names or use derogatory language, I've been walking around thinking that I hadn't done anything wrong, right? But the truth is, like I have, I made a rude comment, and it was wrong. It was an unnecessary comment. It was ungracious to the server."
Anyway, that's a long clip, and he sucks. I don't like him, so we're not going to play it. It's not even good enough to like play on the pod. It's meandering and long, and it doesn't ring true to me. But McNally lifts the ban. Corden is welcome back in the restaurant. Until days later, a New York Times interview brings up the fiasco. Corden responds, "I haven't done anything wrong on any level. I was there. I get it. I feel so zen about the whole thing because I think it's so silly. I think it's beneath all of us. It's beneath you. It's certainly beneath your publication. It feels like such a silly thing to talk about." And then the London Times. "It's been the most surreal moment. I mean, it's so odd. I never screamed at anyone. I didn't shout, didn't call anyone a name or swear or use derogatory language. How is it remotely a thing?" McNally sees this. Takes to Instagram once again to re-ban Corden.
Wow.
Whoa.
He says, "Last post on this non-story. I don't want to over-egg the pudding." A little restaurateur talk. But in Friday's London Times, Corden flip-flopped and told a massive lie again. On second viewing, I found his TV confessional, quotes, contrived and phony.
Ooh.
"The actor will say anything to save his bacon." Another restaurant joke. "In the scheme of things, my opinion means nothing, but after Friday's interview and a second look at his fraudulent confessional, I've given up on James Corden for good. End of story."
Two snap. Brits, wow, going at it in the news, in the rags.
That's right. Now, unfortunately, you know, they say you die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
Well,
James McNally, he's stepped in it a couple times on Instagram since. He shared a post thanking Woody Allen and Soon Yi for dining at Baltazar after the documentary came out. Nobody liked that. And he also posted some support for Ghislaine Maxwell, ?
Oh boy.
At least insisting on due process before rushing to judgment. Jeez. But we don't need to get into all that.
Oh, is she a beloved customer?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like, why would you say anything? Why would you?
I mean, we know that she, well, I'm not sticking up for him, but maybe that you wouldn't weigh in on Ghislaine at all if she wasn't, like, paying.
Is it Ghislaine?
Yeah, you can say Ghislaine. People love that. We know for a fact that she eats at In-N-Out Burger, the one that the birthday boys used to go to all the time up at by the birthday boys' house.
But that doesn't implicate us, Tim.
That no, we've been acquitted.
But let's not dwell on this future dark stuff. Let's go back about 30 years. A little shift in music. The idyllic late 1980s.
Ooh.
The French Martini is floating around New York City bars. Keith McNally is in his prime. He's opened about a dozen restaurants.
Damn.
Including Minetta Tavern? And Nell's Nightclub. Then in 1996, bartender Dale DeGroff, a.k.a. King Cocktail.
DeGroff, author, we know that name.
You know DeGroff. Mm-hmm. Author of The Essential Cocktail and The Craft of the Cocktail. Puts the French Martini on the menu at McNally's vodka-themed bar, Pravda, before it makes the jump to Baltazar.
I've heard of that place.
Wow.
Baltazar, it shoots into the stratosphere. Simon Difford of Difford's Guide has his first French martini in London in 97, the year after, prepared by Dick Bradsell, Europe's most influential bartender at the time.
Inventor of the espresso martini.
This is like all-star game moments.
This is
here.
Like Forrest
it's
Gump.
Like Avengers, yeah, baby.
Also, I didn't know that Difford was a guy, too. That's another heavy hitter. Amazing.
Simon Difford.
We always read that guide. I didn't know it was like a living dude.
Difford wrote in Class magazine, quote, "My favorite martini of the moment has to be the French martini, a drink that looks set to be the hit cocktail of 1998. The French martini resembles a sex on the beach, but without the sex, i.e. no peach schnapps or melon liqueur." Now, I'm going to go to the recipe, but we'll notice this is neither a true martini, nor is it French.
Oh.
The fuck.
The IBA recipe calls for 45 milliliters vodka, 15 milliliters raspberry liqueur, 15 milliliters pineapple juice. Pour all ingredients into a shaker. Shake well with ice and strain into a chilled cocktail glass. Garnish with a lemon peel. Make sure to squeeze the oil from the lemon peel onto the drink.
Love
so
it.
Express it. I don't know why the IBA doesn't just...
IBA does this sometimes where they'll very odd. Rename things in different ways. It's like a dash
yeah, it's
of
not,
stuff.
They don't have uniformity.
Squeeze oil from lemon peel onto the drink? I've never heard that string of words. It's weird.
This is exciting. This is... when I looked at this, I'm thinking like... And now it seals the deal knowing that Dick Bradsell's involved. This is... We're talking... Sex in the City era. We're talking apple teenies. We're talking about looking at a menu that says martini menu and none of them are actual martinis, but this is sort of Cosmo, New York vodka. I dig the vibe, man.
I did see a lot of the phrase cocktail renaissance of the 80s and 90s, which is funny because that puts a positive spin on it. I think we'd been calling that the dark years.
Well, I think I feel like maybe it's like the things that are getting the most play out there are the
juicy, fruity sugar
right,
balls.
Right. But down below, there's like you guys were just talking about with West Hollywood and East Hollywood.
I think also we're talking about the right people. I do think it's the dark ages. But then Dick Bradsell, who is also the Bramble guy, like that's the guy who's doing this stuff right and not making his drinks too juicy. And then Dale DeGroff is like the dude. So, yeah, I guess even, well, evil lurks. Hope can hide. Like old Ben Kenobi hanging out on Tatooine, you know? Yes, I haven't heard that name for many years. You know, this geek shit. I love geek shit.
Ooh, Tim, you should take over questions for Lennon if I'm ever sick.
What could doing my Alec Guinness impression?
Yeah. It'll be questions with Alec Guinness.
All right. Do you guys want to take a shot at it? The French martini?
Yes. But what I was going to say real quick was, did we have a drink? Maybe it was the Cosmo where it was like going from place to place, like the Odeon and Tribeca was like a sort of a hub for cool people. And does that ring a bell to you guys? I remember the Odeon was something. But
Odeon
I like this
doesn't
era.
Came up early. I do think it was the Cosmo. Yeah.
I like this idea that like around just like a small town, like a small town, but Manhattan, a smallish area.
Yeah,
these drinks are being passed around, and where are they going to make? Oh, did you see here? This guy down the Odeon's doing this crazy shit.
Yeah,
I like hearing
cognoscenti,
and that I like hearing how it bridges the gap to the present. Because the Odeon I associate with what's that Bret Easton Ellis novel?
You read it, right?
Zero.
That's the LA one, but the New York one. Anyway. So I would have thought, like, if you just told me the drink like this, I would have, but that place is still around. And then Balthazar, I had only ever heard of this place because of the Corden incident. So it's nice to know that it's been around all this time and that McNally, the very guy clapping back at Corden is the original guy. Like, it's really cool to think of Manhattan going through eras like that and that it's just still going.
Yeah, so Keith McNally was like the restaurateur. I couldn't find like what bar, when we say that it was like popping up in the late 1980s, because that's when all the fruit juice was flowing. I couldn't find like a guy who decided to put this together. This just seems like something that was popping up sort of around the club scene in the late 80s. And it wasn't minted as like a real thing until it landed on Pravda's menu, then Baltazar's menu.
Oh, wait. So he didn't necessarily invent it?
No, he's just sort of the godfather.
He made he made people made it happen.
This recipe shows restraint for the era, and that no, I was a little confused when I first saw raspberry liqueur, but then when we figured, oh, Chambord, we've all got Chambord, right?
Mm-hmm. The fancy purple ball enjoyed by all. yeah, that's where the, by the way, that's where the French comes from, because that's a French liqueur produced in France since 1685.
Ooh, cocktail glass. Nice. Ooh. Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Well, do we do it?
Yes.
Yes.
Folks, sit tight. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Sloppy Boys is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey folks, Mike Hanford from The Sloppy Boys here, and I wanted to ask you, do you ever have this feeling like you gotta get something off your chest? You know, you're walking around with something and you go, I just gotta tell someone this, I just gotta fix this thing. It happens to us all. We all carry around these different stressors, big and small. That's just how it is. But when we keep bottling it up, it can start to affect us negatively, and that's not good. But therapy is here to help. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work on whatever's weighing you down. Now look, you know me, I've been to therapy, I'm the therapy guy, I love it. And I gotta say, it does help when you go in there and talk to the therapist and say, you know what, my two co-hosts piss me off on a daily basis, it's weighing me down, what am I gonna do? That of course is a joke example, but you get what I'm saying. You can tell a therapist what you're feeling, and they'll help you learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Now, listen to this. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. That's right, you. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. That's pretty good. So, folks, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sloppyboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sloppyboys. Go in there, talk to somebody, get it off your chest. Have a great time.
With the French martini, not a great yield off my recipe.
Oh, I got a pretty good one here. Manageable, yeah. Very manageable.
Not bad. Yours is purpler than mine. Yours looks nicer.
Mike's looks like the IBA, the color. It's a purple. Mine is like yellow. The Chambord too, really didn't do the trick.
Yeah, I didn't have Chambord. I used creme de cassis. That's why.
Ooh,
this is like
that's
this.
That's even darker.
Mike, technically, that's black currant liqueur.
I know, but you know, when it comes down to black currants and raspberries, I tend to think they're the same exact thing.
Okay, that's what he tends to think.
Oh God, all the botanists out there are gonna kill me.
We use raspberry syrup in something, and I have that in the fridge, but I use Chambord, and it just doesn't, the purple didn't really purple it up.
Well, this smells delish, by the way.
Yes, it does. Let's do some sips, huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bombs away.
Oh, yeah.
Tim, you made the same face that I did.
Well.
What face you making, guys?
I'm given pause, Mike.
I guess I'm pleasantly surprised at how stiff it is. It's on the drier, stiffer side, which is fun, especially for the the Dark Ages era of cocktails. I guess it's sort of curious why pineapple, because like I kind of got to think to taste the Chambord, so it's not hitting me over the head with raspberry, but it is, it's pleasantly stiff. I don't know. I just don't know about this pineapple.
I don't know if they're working together.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I feel like Chambord and vodka. Ooh, we have good vodka. Jeff, talk about the vodka.
Oh, yeah. We're using Silvergreen vodka because they gave us some. Look at that.
Oh, yes.
It's delicious. Look at that label. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I like.
And I stole a little nip on the way down. It's a delicious vodka. It has almost, it's got a clean kind of vodka taste to it, but then it's also on the back has this earthiness that almost gave me like, I don't know, a cachaça or a lampanog kind of a
thing. Oh, hey, nice.
It says here triple origin, meaning distilled from potato, corn, and winter wheat. I didn't know you could do it's that.
I'm tasting the potato.
And me, the corn.
And Mike, the winter wheat.
The winter wheat himself.
We each chose one ingredient we each get to taste.
This is interesting. My initial reaction was, ooh, good, because I was tasting that creme de cassis that I love so much.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not bad, but I wanted it to be more, I was looking at it, I was like, ooh, this is going to be a Cosmo-style thing, which I do like.
Yeah, well, we've said this before, what was it, where we're like, the whole is equal to the sum of its parts. There's no like emerging greatness here. It's just three things in one cup.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of true. I can taste the three different things when I think about it. I mean, I guess what the juice is there to do is like, you know, there's something nice about juices just clouding up your drink and you shake it up and it froths a little bit. But I don't know that I need pineapple in my French martini. Pineapple isn't French.
Now, what would it just be if it was creme de cassis and vodka? Is that a drink we've done before?
We've done a lot of the berry stuff with gins.
Yeah, right.
It's making me want to bramble, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. The pineapple is kind of funky in there, isn't it? Not bad.
Maybe if it was OJ, not to make it flabby, but if it was OJ instead, maybe it would just add, dilute it a little bit, give it a little juiciness, but without the taste. Because I just want to taste the Chambord. I want to taste that Robitussin-y cough syrup taste of Chambord.
Yeah. Well, perhaps lime would fit in well with this party.
This is flabby. I'm going to say it. This is flabby. We should have acid adjusted our pineapple.
Adjust the acid. You know what this reminds me of? You know when we learned the term flabby from
Jack Schramm.
Excuse me. Wrong pipe. Yes, bartending great Jack Schramm and Solid Wiggles. Check them out. He also gave us this idea when he does at a party, let's say he's bartending a party, he'll take the fruit, the lemon or lime or orange wedge, what he's like running around the rim of the glass, and he'll get it on that stem of the glass too. So people are touching it. They're touching themselves. They're touching their friends. Now all of a sudden, the good smells are all over the party.
Ooh, the oils are inescapable.
Mm-hmm. They stick to you.
They're sort of glittering in the air.
Oh.
A question for you guys. We've looked at the IBA a number of times, especially as we're coming to its close. Y'all remember seeing this? This feels like a Mandela effect drink to me. I feel like the sands are shifting underfoot over at the IBA.
They make swaps, Jay. You could, if you Google it, and you'll see that like every year they'll be like, well, they took the screwdriver off and they put the French martini on.
Is that just to keep us on the hook?
We're the only people talking about them.
They're making all this podcast money.
I know before I said I hadn't heard, because I, if we talk about the IPA list, that's obviously you've heard of that. I feel like I've seen it before on this list, Jeff.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, this might be a Mandela effect for you.
Do you guys remember in the Ithaca Commons? Let's say you're standing right at the very entrance that you just pulled into Ithaca and you're looking at the Commons. The first bar on your left, is that Simeon's? But there was kind of a big, somewhat fancy bar on the left, on your left side.
Oh, yeah.
But
kind of newish.
You're coming down the hill into the Commons.
You're coming down, like you're coming
down Danby.
Not down Danby. You're coming into the college town you guys probably entered from a different direction. I'm talking about where I'm coming from. So, okay. Yeah. Let's say you're going down Danby from Ithaca College. You get to the bottom, but it would be the very first bar that you would see on your left side. It was kind of on a corner, which I want to call it the cell. I don't know.
Same side around as Sammy's Pizza.
Yes. Same side as Sammy's.
And it was a nice bar. I don't remember if that was called Simmons, but it was like a nice new bar. And it kind of had a ramp going up the whole thing. Remember that?
Well, that was, I remember I met up with our friend Stacy for a drink there one time. And I'm sure I'll just only had a beer because that's all I would have ever ordered when I was in college. But she got like an Appletini or a Cosmo or something like that. And I remember just thinking like, wow, man, our friend Stacy is a grown up, man. That's some Carrie Bradshaw shit. But isn't there this funny disconnect when you know the lore of that show, and now we're in the, and just like that era, you're like, women our age, like that show is huge for them and like that's where they learned about dating and love and relationships and careers and everything. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't line up with like it. To me, it feels like it would be for older people. Like, we were watching Jackass and girls were watching Sex and the City. It feels like different generations, but it was what the girls our age were watching. It's so strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, we were
such a funny disconnect.
And we were drinking beers just like the Jackass guys
and butt chugging them.
Oh.
Johnny Knoxville talked about how Miller High Life sponsored the Jackass movie. And he was like, it's great because we can finally show it. He's like, because we're on MTV, we were always drunk when someone was doing a dicier thing, but we couldn't show it. And like, now you have the context that like, yeah, when Ryan Dunn is putting a matchbox car up his butt, he's drunk.
Yeah, that is, imagine if they, like, it was always such a big thing, like, you know, these are stunts, don't try these at home. If it was revealed that it was like, and they're drunk too, kids.
And they're drunk. I know.
The doctor that talks to Ryan about the car up, that's his butt, the best. Remember when he's like, doctor, what should I do? He's like, don't tell anyone. You know, and I know, that's already too many. Like, he's helping him. He's thinking about like crowd control. And it's like, this is going on MTV. going to movie theaters.
That's already too many. That's good. Whew.
Speaking of getting drunk, I'm getting a little hot in the face off
this. It's happening over there?
Yeah.
It's happening.
Ooh, a little rosy.
That's nice. Jeff, if I could put your hat on for a second, what would you do different?
Me?
Yes.
Both of you. You flipped the script on me.
And myself too. I'm going to have to answer.
This is one of the few things, I don't know if you can see this, but like, my pineapple juice has just turned into like schmutz on the top of the glass.
Nasty.
It's not all cooperating. McNally.
Now, do you think Keith McNally is the brother of Rand McNally, the map guy?
No, I looked it up.
You did. McNally, I've heard that before.
I was hoping he was map royalty. No.
No. He's drink royalty.
I'm changing something.
Is the first time this has happened in a while on this show. Done.
Wow.
I'm in need of an R2.
Would you change anything, Mike?
Yes, but I don't know what.
Mike, don't know what.
I don't know what.
I don't know what, Potter.
Mr. Potter.
I'm going to 86 the pineapple, just like how McNally 86 Corden. I'm just going to have Chambord and vodka.
Wow, what an idea.
Now, I could put in lime or lemon, but I would want to cut it in half or something because I don't want this to be a sour.
Here's what I want to do. Remember last week I mentioned that I got some of that olive dirty martini mix?
Yes.
I might do that instead. I might do a martini instead of making a second round of this.
This is a card you play quite often,
what?
Mike.
Listen
more
to me.
More often.
Listen to me closely now. Listen to me now more than you ever have before in your life, Jeff.
Okay.
I need you now.
I need you now. If you've ever listened to me, Jeff, listen twice as hard right now. I'm chalking this. I know that's not a cool move on the pot, or it's whatever on the pot.
You can do what you want.
Because I'm trying a new thing, I think that's okay.
What do you mean?
And I just don't want one. I don't want another one.
Oh yeah, okay, that's right.
Because I'm trying a new element of this of my martini making.
Sure. Oh, that's, like a tool.
You're a tool.
Yeah, the new dirty martini mix. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, great. Yeah, great.
I'm getting by.
I have some acid adjusted OJ in there. That might be fun to play with, but. OJ raspberry, I don't know. Tim, you tweaking?
Yeah, I'm just Chambord and vodka.
All right. Right. All right, I'll have to figure something out. Folks, we'll see you right back here after these messages.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With round two, French martini, I did a little bit more Chambord.
Oh.
And I did what they tell you not to do, which is just throw a little citric acid in there willy-nilly.
Ah, yes. Just throw it in.
Just a little dash out the bag.
Yeah, give it a whirl.
Didn't really measure it. I'd call it maybe half a sugar cube. Tweaks, Timmy?
Me? I went just the 15 milliliters of Chambord with the 45 vodka and,
ooh,
you know, raspberry flavored vodka. Not a full cocktail. I'm missing something. So in retrospect, you know, I would do 7.5 milliliters of lime and see if I could turn this into something.
Ooh. So you have absolute razz.
What did you do, Jeff?
I told you what I did, but I'm going to sip. Hold on. It's a little bit more like a Sour Patch Kid. I don't know. It's like a, I'm still getting pineapple juice, but it's like sour. That's not what you want. I don't know, man.
And I'm trying this. I made my gin martini with Empress gin. And
it's beautiful. Look at it.
In honor of our Taylor Swift blowout.
Yep.
Here we go.
It doesn't even look gross.
No, it's just that Empress gin is like purpley.
Yeah, it's purpley, but it's. I thought it would be like violet with a weird green olive in it. It looks nice, though.
Oh, that's good.
Nice. Mm. Mike?
Yeah.
I'll hand it to you. I think you did the right move.
I think so, too. And it's still in the martini world.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if this drink is fixable for me as I transition into my...
And Mike's looks better. That the purple from the Emperor's Gin looks better than the purple from the Chambord, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I got a fly in my house. Jesus Christ.
I don't know if this drink is fixable. Dudes.
It's mixable.
If it's mixable, it's fixable.
Mm-hmm. Hey, no, you're right. That should be the philosophy of the pot. Keep it positive. you know, this drink's a letdown because I was excited for it. I like all the parts, but mm-hmm. they didn't combine in harmony. So for me, it's a not order again.
Okay.
Oh. No, nor der pa again.
Nor der pa.
I didn't love this drink, but I see the potential.
Mm.
To me, it's an order again.
You didn't.
You bailed.
You didn't order it again.
You have hard evidence and proof that you don't order it again.
You know, I didn't order it. I didn't order it with tweaks. That second round is tweaks round. Should you forego the tweaks, you can make any drink you like.
Okay, whatever, man. but if you were at a bar and somebody was like, I'm going to make it good, you'd have two. Conceivably.
You know, this is interesting, Jeff. When we say order again, I always think of it, will I order it next time I'm out at a bar, or sometime out at a bar, not like again from today.
Again in my life.
Yeah, I think that's what I always think with order again. Not that I have one and then I'm ordering one more.
Okay. Right then. Yeah, we should have nailed that down a long time ago.
No. It's. I think it's great that it's whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
I gotta say, I don't. I just don't see a reason to order again. I think I would rather just have like a Chambord on the rocks or a Bramble.
A Bramble would be so good right now, Tim.
Oh,
this is a waste of Chambord.
It's not a bad drink, but it's also just, I don't see the purpose of ordering it again, so no.
Sorry, Difford. You lose.
Even Dale DeGroff has a few whiffs in him.
Yeah. Sorry, Dale, if you're listening. We love you, and we salute you, sir!
We salute...
We salute you.
We salute you.
I have one beef with Dale DeGroff is like, you know, he's like this old martini guy. He used to work at the Rainbow Room and stuff. And he's really charismatic and funny when he talks. But one thing he said that rubbed me the wrong way was he likes to stir his martinis. You know, like how fancy guys don't want to bruise the gin and they want to keep the vermouth intact and all that. He was like talking about a shaken martini. He's like, ew, it gets all cloudy and it looks like dishwater. And in some interview, if you shake a martini, it's cloudy. It looks like dishwasher. And I was like, A, it's not dishwasher, dude. It's a martini. B,
it's not Cascade, dude.
I love that cloud. When I'm at home and I shake up a martini, I love pouring it and not being able to see through it. And when I'm out at a fancy martini bar that stirs it, I'm like, okay, fine.
What do you like more, the cloud in a martini or the cloud that stores your data?
I got to say the cloud that stores data, because if it weren't for that cloud, there would have been no fappening, and that was some of the best faps in my life.
Okay,
that was a big part of your.
My heart goes out to all the people that were fapping, but like I'm not gonna act like I didn't enjoy it.
Jesus Christ!
Roll us out of here, Jeffy.
Well, I was gonna say bleep that, but actually I stand by it.
Wow.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And if you can't get enough boys, go to patreon.com/thesloppyboys, plunk down the $5, or the 10 for ad-free. And you can listen to the bonus, the Sloppy Boys Blowout, the good show we care about, put all our time and attention into.
That's a good show.
Check out sloppyboys.com. Get yourself a t-shirt at sloppyboys.com.
We'll see you right back here next week on the show with timeless integrity, the Sloppy Boys. Bye, folks.
Bye.